Okay, I hope you guys all had a good tea break. I'm wondering if I can encourage you to actually move closer to the front. No worries, I don't. Last time I checked, my favorite food is pork and not people. So I really enjoy my bak kut teh, you can see that. And because another reason why I want to encourage you to come forward is because there's actually parts where I feel so the plan is I'm going to talk for a while, hopefully not too long, so I need to watch myself in that, to just talk about friendship, which I don't know whether it's a topic that you have considered before. Brian told me that he preached on this maybe 2 years ago, so I hope you still remember some of that. And then there's some case studies we want to work through together, and maybe some Q&A if you have. I'm not really here as an expert in friendship, but I think it's actually a needed topic. I know that some of you might think the topic across the corridor is more exciting, and you want to join that. There's a part of me that wants to join that too. Okay, but I hope that this is going to be something that will be helpful for you for us to consider. Can you just quickly pray for us, and then we can get going. Father, we want to ask you to help us, Lord. We confess, Lord, we are built for relationship. It's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for any human to be alone. And yet, oh Lord, we cry out to you. Lord, how do we find friends who truly know us, who stick closer than the brother? And so we pray that through these sessions, as we think about friendship, oh Lord, help us to think, how do we make friends? How do we help us to think, how do we can be friends? And truly help us to see that, first of all, Jesus, you have chosen to be our friends. And that's why, Lord, we will never be truly lonely. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, maybe I'd like to begin by doing some survey, all right? Okay, I didn't really prepare this, but I'm just going to ask you. Maybe you can just take half a minute or so to reflect on your life, right? You know, words like friends and bro, or sis, I don't know if girls actually do that. We throw that around a lot, right? I mean, I remember like many years ago, I was taking an Uber ride all the way to Changi Airport in Singapore, and the guy just can't stop calling me bro. Right? He said, hey, bro. You know, every sentence begins with bro. And at the end of the trip, I was like, is he my brother? Right? So, similarly, with the questions like friends, right? You know, we also say, hey, this is my friend. But truly, let me ask you a question, right? Think about it for half a minute or a minute right now. How many friends do you really have? How many people in your life can you really say that these are my friends? Okay, I'm going to do a quick survey now, okay? Just by numbers, right? Okay, right, okay. So if your answer is... So I guess we'll do this by... Hopefully, most of us will raise our hands. If you have more than one, you can raise your hand. If your answer is more than one, you can raise your hand. Okay. Wow, I see only people half hand. No, keep it raised. If more than one, raise your hand. Raise your hand, okay? I'm doing this with you as well. More than one, raise your hand. Okay. Now, more than five. More than five. Wow. Okay, you guys need to come and do this. More than five. You guys really keep on. Okay, more than 10. Wow. Okay. That's great. I think maybe you guys should come and do this seminar than me. I don't know. In the church that I come from, many people will tell me privately or something, or hear it from others, that they may have people that they hang out with. They may have people who come over to their house, they can eat, they can play mahjong together, or maybe not the mahjong part, but, right? Okay, right? But when they come, and deep down in their hearts, they're not sure whether these people are friends, because these are not people whom they can count on to share their deepest feelings and troubles. I'm actually very blessed to have two friends in my life that falls in that category. I'm not counting my wife. I know I should count my wife, that she is a friend as well, but I don't sleep with my friends, so sorry to put that in front of you. That I think that's another category for me. So actually, really, there's only two brothers whom I can really, like, you know, pick up phone anytime. I call them, and I can just pour my heart to them. And they do likewise to me as well. And there's great like blessings in that kind of relationship. And the irony of the times that we live in right now is that we are more connected than ever. People are just a WhatsApp away. People are just a call away, even if they're in America and all that, right? It can be very far. And yet, I want to actually say that perhaps we are feeling more disconnected than ever, especially amongst the younger people. And I think it's because we don't think of friendship enough. Maybe we have wrong ideas of friendship. So, what I'm going to do now is to just going to spend the next 20 to 30 minutes to talk about friendship. And then there's a couple of case studies for you to look at, right? So I'm sure that there are things that you can help these people. And I hope that there are also kind of case studies that you can see in your church. So we're really talking about spiritual friendship. We'll get a spiritual part later on, but just I'm referring to the handout now. Essentially, that's the way you can actually count this. So the first thing to really see is that friendship, right? Okay, is actually a necessity. It's something we need. So Genesis 2:18, right? When it says that, then the Lord God said, that's in the account of God making or creating Eve for Adam, right? And he said, hey, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helper fit for him. Look at that. It is not good that man should be alone. All right. In the church that I used to come from, this verse is being used to say, that's why everyone should get married. Because it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for woman to be alone. I don't think that's reading in context. I know in context, that's actually Adam and Eve, right? But really, the original context is there's only one human being at a time. There's only Adam. So, and if Adam doesn't get married and produce children, that's it. No more other humans are going to be around. That is the context. So what it really means here is we are made for relationships. We are made to not only relate to God, we are made to actually to relate to one another. It is not good for men to be alone. Friendship is actually a necessity. But we know that if it's a necessity, but it's actually not that easy to make friends. Why? Because friendship actually also comes as a result of choice or a result of decisions that we make. In John 15:13-16, right? This is actually the where Jesus is talking to his disciples in the upper room, so to speak, before he goes to the cross. I'm not going to read all of this, but this is actually the passage where Jesus is talking about friendship. Now, to be sure, Jesus is our friend, but not in the way that we usually think about it, right? Because we think of friends usually as peers. We think of our friends as someone that we just hang out with and we can just talk to at a level point. And maybe Jesus to you is not like a friend. But here, Jesus saying that, I have called you friends, in verse 15, you see that, right? For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. That's a very real sense that Jesus has actually made us his friends. How? He has revealed his inner life to us. How so? We cannot go into all that, but in the context, this is an amazing thing. In the Old Testament, we look at God, right? Okay? Yeah, you can see God's word, you can see God's spirit at work. But in the Old Testament, you don't have what? That full revelation that God is Trinity, for example. You don't see that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in the Gospel of John, the amazing thing is that God has come and God, in a sense, has revealed his inner life to us. That God in eternity is actually the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, loving one another, glorifying one another in eternity. And the gospel is that when Jesus come and laid down his life for us, what, we enter into that relationship. And that's what he means by all that I've heard from the Father. The words I have are from the Father. I'm revealing them to you. Right? I'm inviting you into this relationship. I'm made known to you. Right? And so the amazing things here is that, look, friendship is a choice. Indeed. We need to choose our friends. But here, the amazing thing first is that Jesus is the one who chose us. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. We usually talk about that in the context of salvation, but actually in the context here, it seems that this choosing is not merely just choosing for salvation or for bearing fruit, this is what we talk about later on, but it's actually how Jesus chose us to be his friends. Because he laid down his life for his friends. In verse 11, so, friendship is a necessity, but at the same time, friendship is a choice. We need to make a decision to befriend someone. And that's actually how friendship usually begins. But then, if that's the case, you may ask this question, how can I really be friends with everybody? How can I be friends with everybody? We all have limited capacity, we all have limited time, we have all limited resources, right? So how is it possible for us to be friends with everyone? this is where then we introduce the idea of what is called broad and narrow friendship. Broad and narrow friendship. We are really like going to think about this, which is Proverbs 18, 24. Can I get someone to help us read that? Sorry, all my verses are in ESV. Does anyone want to volunteer to read that for us? Or is this on recording as well? If it's not recording, then it's fine. Recording, okay, never mind. Okay, so I'll read it for you. Okay, so a man of many companions may come to ruin. So very interesting, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It seems that here, right, there's this introduction that we can think of friendship in the broad sense and also in a narrow sense. In a narrow sense. And there's a relationship between the two. We're going to see that later on. In the broad sense, we can be friendly or we can be loving to everyone, but sometimes only under God's sovereignty and serendipity that we can actually start to make friends with a few in a deeper and deeper and deeper way. That you can really have a friend that says here who sticks closer even than a brother, right? Maybe some of us have tasted that. You have friends who are actually, you are more actually deeply connected to even than people from your own family. So let's look at these two in different categories. There's actually the broad friendship and then there's narrow friendship. So let's look at the broad friendship first. So James here, I'm going to read the James. So James here says, chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. He talks about this man who is wearing gold ring and fine clothing coming to assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing coming in, right? And if you pay attention to the one who says who wears the fine clothing and says, you sit here in a good place, and while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit at my feet, have you not made distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? And James says that, look, if you are this way, you're partial towards people on the basis of their appearance, right? I don't know how you think about friends, because when you come to a place like church, very often what people do and what I observe in my own church is that people often want to be friends only with people of the same kind as they are. I used to get calls during COVID because they can only meet in CGs. We are trying to get new CGs to be open for people to join so that they can actually get in those groups. I get calls, and you know what they call me and ask me? They ask me, hey, what's the makeup of the CG like? Is it full of young people? Or is it like mixed? Or is it what? They're like letting all these things. Is there children there? And as they ask, I know what they're asking for. They're asking this question. Can you please tell me, are there people like me over there? Because if there are not people who look like me over there, I'm not going to be there. But do you know what? There's actually a preemptive decision already to not make friends with people who are not like them. I'm not going to waste my time. But if you think like this, you're actually not really understanding the idea of broad friendship. Because James 2, 8, 9 here, it says that, look, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. Contrast this with what? Showing partiality. You are committing sin and you're convicted by the law as transgressors. Now, so what is broad friendship? The broad friendship is that I actually have to resist the idea that I actually try to pick my friends based on whether they look like me, whether they are from the same race, whether they do the same job, whether they are from the same background or educational background. I'm not going to allow these things to actually inform whether these people will be my friends or not. Are you here to look for something? Hello, Lucas. Okay. And when you actually have that kind of mindset, right, that you actually preclude some people from your potential friends, so to speak, right, okay, then you're not actually getting that broad friendship. Broad friendship actually means that there's a sense in which, really, that everyone that we meet, even to non-Christians in some sense, can be our friends. Of course, we need to be very careful about how they influence us, but on the whole, right, we can be friendly towards them because it's what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second greatest commandment. But we see that there's this idea of narrow friendship, right? Right, which is part of Proverbs 18 speaks of. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And sometimes, I don't know, because I used to think, I mean, this is my experience. I used to think that, wow, I understand people now, right? Because it's like, I don't know, people say that after 30s, after 40s, I don't know whether it's experience, maybe not, just me. People say that as you grow older, it's harder and harder to make friends. And I don't know, we talked about calculations this morning. That's kind of a calculation I make in my mind as well as I think about friends. Because I meet someone, I was like, wow, maybe this guy's only going to be in Singapore for 2 years or only for 6 months. Am I going to pour myself into this relationship? Nah, don't waste the time, nah. Right or not? Because it's not going to get my benefit back in the long term. Right? But that kind of thinking, right, is kind of also preventing me from making friends. But here's the interesting thing. I didn't realize it. So I have two friends whom I'm very, very close to because they really become very close friends in since university. And there are people whom I can really share a lot of things with. And I think that God actually brought someone into my life just very out of the surprise. I didn't know. There's a colleague who just joined joined the team like maybe two years ago. And I don't think that I actually like intentionally said, hey, I want to seek out this guy. But I think because of some sense that practicing the broad friendship, being friendly to people, just be interested in them, right? Be interested in them. That's the way you do it. You meet people at tea break. What do? You ask questions, right? Yeah. Who are you? How are you? Tell me your story, right? And then you ask questions about the story. Listen very well. And somehow, sometimes God just used that to bring out people into your life whom they will reciprocate. They come to you and says, hey, I'm sorry if my cock-in is not what you understand, but they say, hey, I want to jail you for lunch. Right. Yeah. You know, and sometimes there's this reciprocity, and they say, you know, oh, we become good friends, you know, like better and better friends. And not just hanging out, we actually then start to share our sins, our struggles with one another, we pray for one another. There's something really wonderful in that. So, narrow friendship and broad friendship, and very times because sometimes we only think in one category or only in the other category, that's why we actually struggle in friendships. We are really responsible in faithfulness to love others in the broad friendship category. While God is actually the one who brings what? Fruitfulness in the narrow friendship category. That if we are faithful in the broad friendship category, okay, sometimes, okay, not all the time, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel over here, but sometimes God is faithful in what? Bringing the fruitfulness in this narrow friendship category. So, we need to actually hold a bit of tension between these two. Really hold tension between these two. Because on the one hand, you need to be very careful of not being open to narrow friendships. There may be these moments where you realize that you are being invited into a relationship. And you got to think about that. I think I was just challenged that just last week, because my wife just suddenly spoke to me about these two brothers whom I know them for a while already. I think I'm okay. I'm pretty good friends with them. Maybe it's a spectrum. It's not just like two categories, but they're like getting closer to this side. But my wife is like, hey, how come you don't let them in? How come you don't let them in and let them really be your friends? I don't know. I don't know how to answer the question. Maybe there's a part of me that's not open, because you know what? Being open to narrow friendships, right, requires some amount of faith, because I got to open up myself. I got to open up a part of me, maybe that I don't usually open up to other people, and I let them come in and see that. Right? Yeah. Maybe, I don't know about church culture, it can be dangerous to confess that you like to watch anime, for example. And then, because you don't do that, and then you're not getting people to come in. For example, right? So, you need, but then you need to be careful of that. Be careful of not being open to narrow friendships. Because if you just do help keep people at bay, at arm's length, no wonder your friendships don't grow deep. I mean, that's just a natural thing, right? But you should also be careful about not being only open to narrow friendships. I think that's like me when I was younger. When I was younger, I absolutely hate small talk. I hate small talk. I hate it when people ask me, like, what's the weather like? Or how's the economic situation now? Then I was like, oh, yeah. You know, inflation very bad right now and all that kind of stuff. It's all making small talks, right? We're just talking about stuff and then it's like really nothing. And I feel anxiety inside. It's like, oh, man, we're getting real stuff we want to talk about. Right? Talk about serious stuff. Talk about theology. Talk about faith. Talk about God. But, okay, with a bit of getting older and hindsight, if you're only open only to narrow friendships, the irony is this, you may never get there. Because you need to allow the small talk to lead to some place where you build enough trust. You can move on to the next part and next part of the relationship. Right? Because the small talk really is for people to check you out. What do you think? Right? Right? Yeah. So I guess that's just you need to hold attention, right? To be how to be faithful in broad relationships, but also then how to then pursue the narrow relationships. Okay, moving on quickly, let's talk about how to discover friendships, okay? How do you discover friendships? We're trying to be more practical over here. Now, friendships has a very, very personal aspect, really. I mean, what I mean is actually, I think we are referring to the narrow side, because there's actually another reason why we cannot really be deep and narrow friends with everyone, because a lot of times friendships are forged in the furnace, if you like, of commonality. So there's a C.S. Lewis quote over here, right, which is that some says that friends have chosen their friends you know, for their various excellencies, beauty, frankness, goodness, wit, intelligence of heart. But yes, it's a particular kind of wit, a particular kind of beauty, particular kind of goodness that we like. And we all have personal tastes in this, in these matters. If you really watch yourself, you know that, hey, I actually enjoy being this person is coming out a really close friend of mine because I really enjoy his humor. Maybe you'll say that. But honestly, another guy who's just like humor, sama-sama as this guy, but somehow you don't really get close to him or her. And the reason why? Why? Because it's a package. It's really a package. It's not just a humor. You may think you like the humor, but it's a package. It's a combination of those things, right? And somehow you also bring into this relationship the community of yourself. So that's actually a very deeply personal thing. And let's not avoid that. Let's not... It's actually okay. Let's not idealize that. Jesus commands us to love everyone. I love it because you just say that you love everyone, love your neighbor as yourself, which is smart. It's a basic choice and attitude for me to be friendly to them. But look, we know this, okay? I will say for you, I may love you, but I'm sorry, but I may not like you. I will choose to love you because I choose to do that which is good for you. That's, love is a choice. But friendship sometimes involves that liking, that mutual liking, right? And it's not one way only. I mean, it's, and there's some ways it's a bit like courtship, I understand. You like him, they're going to like you back. You cannot force this thing, right? Yeah, there's a personal aspect to it. And let's not get away with that. So, which is why it's built on some kind of affinity, you know? Friendship is born at the moment when no one is says to another, what, you two? I thought no one but myself. That's what C.S. Lewis wrote in The Four Loves. It's that actually you found a kindred spirit. That's what it means. You found someone that, hey, oh, you kind of actually have this as well, right? You, which is why wit and humor sometimes works, right? Because you have that moment where you both laugh at the same thing at the same time. And then you know, oh, we are thinking of the same thing. And then there's chemistry. I just had a word of caution as well. It does have that, but then the affinity and all these things can really surprise us. I have a brother in my church, I think, who's a lot more intentional. I really admire him because he deliberately will choose to join CGs where it's intergenerational. He seek out older men so that he can really be friends with them and allow them to befriend him. And I think it's a wonderful when I see these things in church, when there's like friendship that cuts across not only just all kinds of social demographics, but also age range. It's really wonderful to see that. So the affinity aspect may not necessarily be the outside things like our career stage or our life stage. It may not be this thing. I just wanted to say that here as well. However, every friendship needs to have that. I mean, C.S. Lewis, I don't have it here, has another quote which says about the difference between lovers and friends. Because lovers face one another because they're in love with each other. But friends, right, I think, yeah, friends, they stand shoulder to shoulder facing the same thing, right? So that's how you can find friends. But finally, I want to end by talking, give you some practical things about how to forge friendships and discover friendships. So forging friendships, so like now in E, okay, before we get to the case studies, and I'd like you to do some discussion. So, look, if you are actually seeking friends and you want friends, you have to really be honest with yourself. And not about life in Kuching. Maybe Kuching life is not very busy. Singaporean life is extremely busy. If you want to start a conversation with any Singaporean, just say, hey, you're busy recently. Yeah? And the person says, yeah. Or people call me, I don't know why. I feel slightly offended actually when people call me, hey, pastor, you're busy very recently, huh? I don't know what to think. I just think I don't pay attention to you. but which is really a sign of actually where our priorities and our capacity as well. Just to be very honest about this. Maybe you're in a life stage where you really cannot have the capacity to make time to make friends, right? So you have to look at your capacity and your priorities. Because if you're actually not making this a priority, it will not happen. That's just a reality of life. Okay, right? If you don't make this a priority, you cannot live like this for 5 or 10 years and look back and say, hey, I didn't make friends in that period of time. No, you have to, in some sense, make that priority and capacity. You have to be intentional about it, so to speak. And you have to actually have set the correct expectations. Set the correct expectations, which is to have realistic goals. I mean, once you know your capacity, then let's say you want to set a goal for the next few years, you can say, okay, look, how am I going to be really pursuing friendship in the next few years? How do I do so with the right attitude as well? Because just mind you that this is actually an art. There's no science to it, right? Okay, friends need to be faithful in broad friendship, but then only God will bring the fruitfulness of the narrow friendships. Okay, so I'm praying for the narrow friendships. I'm praying for those deep friendships, but I need to also be realistic, right? Whether one or two can actually be formed in the next few years. And I think this is something that is necessary because you are not, when you do so, right, it's not just doing it for yourself. You're doing it for others as well. When that person as well also gain a deep friend when you do so, right? So, but you need to be realistic about your goals because when it's a bit like exercise. Even if you set too high a goal, but you know that I'm an example of failing many times. I just want to lose 3 kgs and then I can't do it, and then you still gain 1 kg, I just give up, right? So you need to set realistic goals for yourself. But at the same time, you need to practice patience because, I mean, it's an art. Patience, I mean, look, maybe it's okay if things don't work out. If things are okay, I mean, especially young people here, I think, because I think the digital platform sometimes gives us a little bit difficult. I mean, I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on, but there's a little bit difficulty in forming friendships just over text or even Zoom calls because there's something about body-body, face-to-face that actually creates that kind of chemistry and friendship. And it can only be enhanced or kind of be found out only through mutual interactions over a sustained period of time. So be patient. It's a bit like planting. It's like if you plant, right, you don't know when it's going to harvest, but you can be faithful in planting, but God will provide a harvest in due time. All right, okay. Finally, I want to just talk three ways, practical ways to actually forge. One is, as much as you can, meet face-to-face. Maybe this is not really applied to Kuching context. I'm sure you guys meet face-to-face, right? I mean, I heard that in Malaysia, it's very easy. Pick out the phone. Hey, want to makan tonight or not? People just come out and eat, right? So I think it's wonderful. You should capitalize on that, really. Singaporeans, the calendars are crazy. I can never do that with anyone in Singapore. I say, hey, you want to come over for dinner tonight? People say, you siao ah. I'm free in 3 weeks' time. Yeah, because the planning is like so much. But then you need to do that. So you need to say, hey, how can I plan for time to really meet face-to-face and spend time with one another? Texting, everything is a good way to be connected with people, but it cannot replace that. So I really like to encourage that for you. And the next thing is actually then, for example, is to do things, it's not only just face-to-face, right? But we have it side-by-side. And there are practical ways to do this. Meals. And perhaps, I think this should be happening in KEC. Sorry, I didn't ask Brian about all this, but I really think that one of the ways that the married and the family can really be blessing the singles people in a church, in my opinion, is to host meals. It's host meals, host a makan session in your home, right? Make them kacang mua or something. I don't know. What's your like most favorite dish to make, right? And what do you do? You create the opportunity for face-to-face conversation. You create the opportunity for people to come and actually know you. We really would like to encourage a hospitality culture in church. And hospitality is not just welcoming people at the door and in front of the door, during church service. That is hospitality, but hospitality extends to even just having people in your homes when you're eating with them side by side. And that's how actually friendships are actually being forged. And of course, I mentioned already, you can meet with people to, you know, maybe get someone to have a debate about where's the best laksa, and then you get twice, because you get to eat at his favorite laksa and at your favorite laksa so that you can meet twice. So that's one for one, right? And you do life together. Do life together, which is kind of, it can be creative. Maybe this part is more challenging for coaching people because your lifestyle, and if I may say so, when I go to America, I always feel that I'm back home in Malaysia. Because America has one thing in common with you guys. Do you know what's that? You like to drive straight you all have your own vehicles and you drive straight and you drive like, it's the best if I just park just at the doorstep of the shop that I want to go. And I can just walk in there, right? And I don't have to, you know, I minimize walking, basically. Right? This is very strange for someone growing in Singapore because we walk all the time, right? Okay? We walk more than you, basically, I think. But you know my struggles. I walk, but then I still like that. But then the thing is that doing life together, actually my notes would say, is that you actually fold people into your rhythms. So for example, if I need to go to the bank to do something, right? And I know that there's a young brother who has nothing to do. I say, hey, you want to come alongside with me? We go together. Or that day when my wife and my kids are actually in KL, I need to actually do some household chore cleaning. I actually got one brother in my church says, hey, you want to hang out with me? Come, let's do household chores together. I know it doesn't sound appealing, but this is doing life together. This is doing life together. You come and then I see you vacuum. I say, oh man, you don't know how to vacuum. But you know, you actually create friendship through that. You have these creative ways to fold them into your rhythm. And the main reason I mentioned the car thing is because I think it's a bit harder for you because everyone needs to drive their own car. I mean, the point is to get people in the same car so you can talk, you know what I'm trying to say. Right? Yeah, that's how you actually create those opportunities. If you all drive together, go there, then you lose a bit of the interaction already. Yeah. Okay. And finally, heart to heart. Heart to heart. I just want to share a couple of things with you about heart to heart, which is loving one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, encourage one another, build another up just as you are doing. There's a lot of scriptures on this. And that's actually the goal of friendship. What's the goal of friendship? I want to let you know, put it this way. Are you able to have friends in church where they know you so well, right? They know how to encourage you. Hey, it's not easy to be encouraged, you know, because we are very cynical people. When someone comes to you, hey, well done, you think to yourself, of course you say that, you're just being polite. But it takes someone who really knows you to come and encourage you in a way that actually goes into your heart. Yeah. And do you have someone like this in your friendships? Someone truly knows you, knows where you tick, and he knows how to encourage you. Or, even more controversially, someone who knows in a week when you are most prone to temptation, and the person is able to say, hey, give you a call, I'll give you a text, I'm praying for you. I know they might be tempted tonight, but I'm praying for you. I'm open to you. Do you have any friends who are like, know you to that level? Because that's what it means to encourage one another heart to heart. I got to really go quickly now, but then in this page, there's a lot of questions. These questions are here. This, when you meet side to, when you do side to side or do face to face, you don't know what to say, right? I'm giving you a cheat sheet basically, right? Okay? These are questions you can ask, right? Okay, right? And there are categories. There are the people we're just getting to know, good questions to ask, right? How do you come to faith? Like that day, I was glad to, it's Leo, right? I think that Brian was asking him about how do you come to faith. These are great questions to ask each other because everyone has a story. Everyone has a story with Jesus and that story is amazing. Get to know that story. And all the rest are pretty good stories too. And so, which is why, you see, you need to get to the point where you have firmly established friends, just where it's like the encourage out heart one. You can actually ask this question more straightforwardly. How have you been struggling recently? Right? How can I be a better friend to you? How can I help you to grow spiritually? That's the end goal, really, of where we want to go to. Okay, but that's a sample for you to take note of. Okay. Right now, okay, I want to give you 10 minutes, okay, to just look at the case studies and and discuss amongst ourselves. So maybe what I want to do is to get into groups of three or four, perhaps, all right, okay? And look at the case studies, right, okay? And you choose one. Just choose one within your group to talk about. And then in 10 minutes' time, we gather back, and then we can maybe have some Q&A or just express your ideas of what is shared will be applying to this. And we hope to end maybe just a few minutes after 12, okay? Sorry that this may be a bit squeezed for you guys. Yep, thank you. All right, okay, these are, okay, basically based on what I'm just eavesdropping, going around the room and hearing, you guys are having great, great conversations, all right, okay? So maybe a very practical thing to suggest is that you can continue these conversations over lunch to talk about it. I'm sorry that we're running out of time, but if you are really having some questions around this topic, do remember that we have that Slido thingy. We also have that, you can write a question and put it into the box outside, so you can actually really ask these questions as well, right? I think tonight's is quite free for all, right? So it's not really just about tonight's things. So that is actually the questions you can be asking. Maybe I'd just like to give some slight comments on the case studies. I think you guys probably have a lot more ideas, and which I'm hearing is very, very good ideas. I think for me, the John case here, if you just take a look at this, John case here, the profile is very interesting, right? It's the kind of guy that is, if you've been around for a long time, you know that there's a person like this. I don't just, maybe it's a more guy thing, but I think some girls can be like this too, but it's slightly more rare, is that they're kind of funny. It's that they're always the funny guy. They're always trying to make a joke of everything, right? Make people laugh. Right? That's what means gregarious here as well, right? But somehow, right, he actually keeps certain things very close to his heart. He doesn't actually reveal himself a lot. So which means that actually, the joking, the jokester, right, is actually the way to actually hide something inside. And so if I were to talk to John, it's good that he's realizing that it's not healthy to be where he is in terms of friendships. Actually, it's to say that it may not necessarily look like he's going to have immediately very good friends immediately. It's probably not easy as that. But it's more like, hey, he can really be more outward focused in his conversation with people. I don't want to make a joke of everything. I can really be, you know, concerned about your life. You can ask those good questions, for example, when you meet people, right? Be really interested in someone. That is part of the faithfulness in broad friendship, right? Be really interested in someone. It's like, hey, I'd like to get to know you, right? Tell me your story, tell me your family. I mean, if it's possible, that person allows it, see? And also at some point, for John himself to disclose about something about himself, and when the person asks back, right? And that's actually how friendship actually grows. Because if you're always trying to make things into a joke, right, you kind of lose that opportunity sometimes to actually get deeper. Yeah. So actually, this is nothing to do with whether you're introvert or extrovert. I'm just basing it on some conversations that I'm hearing around here. It's not as if extrovert people are actually better at making friends than introvert. Actually, not necessarily true. In my just a little bit of experience, introvert people secretly despise those extrovert people. They have all had very shallow friends. I'm looking for real relationships. Right, okay? But, so it's nothing to do with any all these categories. It's really in the end about like how God has made you, and you've got to figure it out. What does it mean for me to care for someone else? What does it mean for me to be faithful in broad friendship? It's actually back to that question. So in some sense, John may struggle. His struggle is not really having no close friends. His struggle is really being faithful in the broad friendship category in some sense. Let's talk about Rachel and Shen for a while. Rachel and Shen, to me, this is it's the thing that's a bit more common. I think because, you know, you may have expectations, maybe, I don't know, it's more common among sisters, I'm not sure. Because I think usually guys are a bit more proud, right? We don't come to a church thinking I'm going to look for a mentor, right? But sisters are more like open to, I want to look for older sister, older woman who is willing to mentor me and things like that. I think there's a connection. That's the Shen and Rachel story, right? And Shen starts to feel that, hey, Rachel is a bit like being standoffish, and then she starts to feel disillusioned and disappointed. I don't know, it's very complicated. Some discussions actually talk about how Rachel comes off as a not so nice person and all that. I don't know whether we want to like jump to those conclusions. But if you are Rachel or if you have been Rachel, maybe it can be reflecting a bit of why you can be doing that to someone. Because the reality is that we do actually, there are a lot of things happening in our life that we don't really think about it too much, right? For example, I don't know if you watch yourself in this. Why is it that some people, they text you, you immediately reply? Let's be honest. I don't know. If you immediately reply, I have respect for you, okay? Because there are some people I just immediately reply. There are some people that text me, I'll be honest, I'm like, let's sit for a while first before I reply. Okay? Sometimes the sit for a while becomes a very long while. And we need to dig deep inside. Is there something very interesting in our church? Because they had a church camp where they talk about reconciliation. I wasn't part of the church camp, but it seems bearing a lot of fruit, because even months later, people are like going up to each other. People who may not be so close and say, hey, you know what? I have something against you and I just never told you in the face. And I want to share this with you. I hope you can forgive me. It's very interesting, because when we search deep in our hearts, we may actually have those kind of little, it may be very, very tiny, you think, just brush it aside. No, you may be offended by something, but you're actually nurturing that. Yeah, so it's very hard to tell, because our hearts are very deceitful. But for Shen, I would say this, it's a bit like, she needs to basically see a broader picture. I mean, in some sense. It's actually come back to the question about being practical, about the patience that we're talking about. Sometimes, just a one-off chemistry, I mean, some group said it's very good, which is like, may not necessarily mean a fruitful friendship in a long time. Sometimes, actually, in fact, some friendships we know, right, are forged in a furnace of conflict. They first time meet, cannot. But then later on, open up, the Chinese says, 不打不相识, which means they actually get to know each other through conflicts. Yeah, right? Yeah, so it's actually not really about all these things as well, but more like actually just being accepting that, oh, sometimes God in His sovereignty has not allowed me to pursue this friendship. And I actually, instead, when I feel disappointed and angry, I'm actually not angry with Rachel. I may actually be angry with God. So you have to come to terms with that as well, right? But what does it mean then for me to be faithful? And what does it mean that asking God to fruitfulness? I'm sorry, I'm just giving you super, super superficial thoughts, but that's all I can say about like Shen and Rachel. Right? Hope that this session has been helpful for us to just spend some time thinking about spiritual friendships. Can I just close us in prayer, and then we can. I think next up is lunch, but I'll leave that to Jonathan to tell you. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you that even your word, you gave us such wealth, Lord. We see friendships even formed between David and Jonathan. We see friendships as something that you use for your glory to draw the hearts of the brothers and sisters near to one another, that we may exalt one another and encourage in the faith. We pray, O Lord, that in KEC, we pray for our brothers and sisters in KEC. We pray that won't you be pleased, O Lord, to grant them such fruitfulness of narrow and deep friendships, even as they practice, O Lord, the faithfulness, O Lord, in broad friendships. Lord, I pray that you help them. We pray that you guide and lead them, give them wisdom in how to pursue this. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.